Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
I feel very privileged to be with you today, and I hope and I pray to God that this should be a good moment for you. Let's pray right now before we get in the Word of God. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, please stop, hold, just take a moment to focus on the living God and what He wants to say in your life. Father, we praise You, God, this day. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in our lives. What You're doing in this church is absolutely amazing right now. We pray that this time together, that You would help us to see what You want us to see, hear what You want us to hear. Open our ears, Lord, so that we might do what You want us to do. And we thank You. There is a miracle in our household. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, I heard it. Not really, but hey, you know what I mean. Let's start at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels, pots, jars, whatever. Borrow them from your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in, shut the door behind yourself, you and your sons, and pour into these vessels, and one is full, set it aside." So she went from him, shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Please bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." You see right here, this was a miracle in her house. She was in a very desperate situation. Here she was, a woman who was married to a prophet, meaning this school of the prophets, these school of the prophets, when you read about these, they were the only holy people in the whole land. They were the only ones who were really, truly trying to abide by the law of God and the ways of God. And as you can see here, she was really in a desperate situation because not only did her husband die, but she had two young children, but then also she had no insurance. She had no livelihood. All of her debts had come to her, and she basically was completely out of hope, and she was in trouble. And when it says that the creditors had come, actually they were there on the spot to basically then take her children and make them slaves to be indentured servants for somebody else. What a tragic, tragic, traumatic story this is. But as it is with God, God does something in our lives when we're at that point of desperation, even as He did for her. And look what happened. It says that she cried out to Elisha. And I just want to take a minute and really remind us all how important it is to cry out to the Lord. Now, whether that was a frantic screaming and crying or literally with tears, we don't know. But here's what we do know. The Bible says that we can weep for a night, but we'll have joy in the morning. The Bible does tell us that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. The Bible does teach us so many things about making a desperate plea unto God. God hears you. God sees you. God knows you, and God wants to help you. And that's what we can see in this particular story. Now, as she was crying out, she was really struggling and wrestling with the issue of how can God save us? How can God intervene in our world? How does He do that? And one of the clear things that we can see is that Elisha asked her a question. She went to Elisha and he said this, "What can I do for you?" And one of the things when we're looking for that miracle in our lives, we're looking for that miracle in our house, we're looking for that miracle at our work, one of the most important things we need to know is that God will send people in our lives who will ask that question, "What can I do for you?" This is reminiscent of no other than Jesus Christ when He was walking through Galilee, and he would say to people who were screaming and crying out for him, and he would look back at them and say, what is it that you want me to do for you? Let's be specific. Let's be calm for a second. Let's go to God and ask him to help us to break through and to get through. And what we see in this situation, first of all, that as we get to the miracle in your house, is that even though it looks like we have nothing, when we have community, like this woman right here, she had community. When we have community, God will often work through people instead of just dropping manna from heaven. I've never seen money come out of heaven. I've never seen these kind of miracles that are like directly where an angel comes and stands before me to give me direction. God can do whatever he wants to do. God doesn't live in the box, as we know that proverbial way of saying it, that God is not in the box. God is everywhere. He can do what he pleases. But I would say the majority of the time, God uses ordinary people for extraordinary results. Elisha was a type of Jesus Christ. If you remember, he was the one who carried the double portion of his mentor named Elijah. And Elisha was just an amazing, extraordinary businessman. He sold out to follow Elijah, his mentor, and he received a double portion. And it was exactly twice as many miracles that he saw happen through her life as his mentor, Elijah. So he indeed did receive the double portion. Now, one of the worst lies that we have to deal with in our lives is that nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody sees us. And that's true so often if we carry this secret alone. But the one thing this woman did that was probably the best thing she could do is she went after the head of the school of the prophets, Elisha, and she said, here's my situation. And she cried out to him. And this is a beautiful example of what it is that when we're together in community and when we're doing things together, we're not alone. And God is working in our midst. I have a friend who recently was going through COVID-19, and it had a deep spiritual, emotional, and physical impact on his life. For 2 months, he was bedridden. And I would check in on him at first about once a week, and it was the normal symptoms. And he actually got put into the hospital for a while, special drugs, and he was getting incrementally better. So I began to kind of, you know, just think about him a little bit and pray for him a little bit, but I wasn't worried or concerned until all of a sudden, about a month and a half, towards 2 months later, he was still in trouble, and his heart rate was extraordinarily high. He had symptoms all through his body, and there were times when he felt like he not only was going to die, but wanted to die. And as I began, his wife reached out to me by text, can you please call my husband and please encourage him and help him? And one of the things that happened in that moment is that I began to realize this is a lot more serious than it should be. And so I called him up, and as I began to listen to him and talk to him, all of a sudden we hit this moment where he began to get transparent with me about what he's really feeling like and thinking, how he's not going to make it. And he had a series of thoughts in his mind, and I began to recognize that this man is being attacked and assaulted by the devil himself. The accuser himself was in his brain, on his mind, the things that he was saying, the things that he was thinking. My children are going to grow up without a dad. I'm going to be wasted. They're going to be washed up. They're going to be poor. I've spent all my money on this home that we live in. I don't even have a job right now. I can't get insurance. All of these things were weighing him down. Now, I want to just take a minute and ask you a question. Do you know what it is to have a negative thought? And we all have these. There's a famous psychologist who I really deeply admire and I appreciate his studies, Dr. Daniel Amen. And he gave an analogy to these negative thoughts one time when he was in his kitchen, and his kitchen was being overrun by ants. And he said, that's what happens when there's an infestation of ants. You have to deal with it. You can't just leave them alone or they'll continue to multiply and take over. And he came up with the phrase ANTS, ants, automatic negative thoughts. 80% of our thoughts are negative, he says. And so what do we do? And we've been teaching, Lynette and I've been teaching our little girls this. What do we do when we have a negative thought? They might say, you love her more than me, or she always gets something and I don't get that, or something like that. You know how children can be petty about their things. And We can be, as adults, can be petty about those things too. We can feel jealousy. We can say, God, you don't love me. Does anybody really care about me? These are ants, automatic negative thoughts. And the psychologist taught us to ask two questions when we have a negative thought. Number one is it true? And number two is that thought 100%, you're absolutely 100% sure that it's true? And those are the two questions we must ask. And as I began to walk my friend through this, I realized he had many splinters in his thinking. He had many little burrows or little painful places in his thought. And this is a very successful individual. Very kind, very godly, very holy, very a great dad, a great husband, a great thinker, a great friend to me. And he was dealing with these things. And it literally took an hour to begin to get him to walk through this. Then the next thing you know, his wife comes in and says, I want you to keep telling me your thoughts. And he says, well, I'm going to die. And she says, no, you're not going to die. And she'd read him a scripture. We have to deal with our thinking. We have to, as Paul says, take every thought captive and pull it down and make the thought submit to Christ. What does the Word of God say to you? This woman who said, I have nothing. My kids are going to be turned over to the creditors, the slave owners. They're going to have a rotten life of paying off this debt, which could take years or in some cases, even a lifetime, or in the Hebrew construct here is probably 7 years. And we all know that's a long time. So one of the things that happened in that particular moment, and my friend, over the next 5 days, I called him every day and helped him in his thinking. And by about the fifth day, it was as if he's healed. He doesn't sound beat up anymore. He's fighting back. He's in control. His body is getting much better. His emotions are now restored to what I would call the abundant life. He's doing great. And I'm thankful for that. And I do believe he's healed right now, as even as I spoke to him as recent as yesterday. So I want to encourage you, as these two questions come through Elisha, that we sometimes have to ask other people and we become that Elisha for somebody else. So even as we're in this series on miracles, we're not always making it about us. Most of us don't really need a miracle right now. But here's the point of this series. We become a conduit for somebody else's miracle. God uses us to give them a miracle. There's something that God does in our lives to make us well-suited to be the one to help someone get to that miracle that they are so believing for and desperately need. He asked these two questions, simple questions. What shall I do for you? Tell me. And secondly, what do you have in the house? And when she said, answered him, her first instinct was say, I have nothing. And then there's like a pause in between that. And then she came back and she said, except a little bitty jar of oil. Could it have been that the Holy Spirit awakened her to something that she did have? And the first thing she had was community. And she never admitted that. Because let me tell you something. When you're walking alone, you're going to find a time and a place where you need somebody else. That's one of the things that really concerns me about Christians who are outside of community trying to do it on their own. Do you know you will never need a pastor until you need a pastor? You will never need a prophet until you need a prophet. But I thank God we're not living in famine. God puts those people around us, but we have to choose to access them. And if we're on the giving side, we have to choose that, Lord, here I am today, and I'm available to be a blessing and a conduit of God's will, God's Holy Spirit for someone else. And I know you're that way too, but I want to activate us, especially those of us who are still somewhat quarantined or don't want to, or want to stay away from gatherings. Not only do I respect your place, your position, your situation, but I nevertheless want to remind us that God has given us technology just not just to receive, but to give away. Use your text, use your phone, use your emails to kindly reach out to somebody else, because we never know who might really be going in a downward trend. And God wants to use us to be the catalyst for their miracle. This woman had that epiphany. She had that revelation that's something maybe that God can use. And when God breathes on something, even though it's inconsequential, even though it's insignificant, when God touches something, He intends to use it. You may have heard me share this story before, but my father had disappeared from my life, even in my childhood, and he had taken off. And there was a sense of relief because he was not a very kind man. He was reckless. He was hard to live with. He was on drugs. And he was, even though he's very well educated and a high level professional, he was messed up. And so when he left, there was a sense of relief, but there was a deep sense of sadness as well, growing up in a single parent family. But what did God do? After I met Jesus, 2 years later, He gives me a verse in Scripture saying that I want you to be reconciled with your father. It's right out of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. God wanted me to reconcile with my father. It was a big deal for me. And so I found out where he was living in California, and I was able, even as a college student, to scrape together money, enough money to fly out to see him. The miracle of that restoration was amazing. But then something happened about a year and a half to 2 years later. He ended up flying from California, this time to see me. And he said, I want to come see you because I can't stop thinking about what happened in your life. He called my faith a fad. He called my faith, oh, it's just one of those things that we all go through. And he demeaned it, but I didn't fight back. I just let him think whatever he wants to think. But after a while, God was moving and convicting him. He came out to see me, and he came into my house. And when he was there, he called on the name of the Lord. All of his sin was washed away, and he had a miraculous encounter with Jesus Christ, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I baptized him in my bathtub in front of two witnesses. The miracle then of my father moving out to be with me in my little community of faith, it was the very first church I'd ever started. He became a part of that. That was a miracle in my house. And it's one that I'll never forget. My father's not with us anymore. He's with the Lord, but he lived an incredible life. He went back and he got his second master's degree, this time in Christian therapy, Christian counseling, and he became mightily used of God. This is like one of the ways that God moves in the miraculous in our homes. One of the things I would encourage us is that we need to start focusing on what God is doing. It's so easy to have an automatic negative thought 80% of the time. Just, oh, that'll never be, or I'm not worthy, or whatever the thought is. We have to take it captive and look at that, judge that thought against what does the Word of God say. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the lender and not the borrower. God's Word gives us thousands and hundreds and thousands of promises that we can stand on. And we can trust God. He's the God who does say no at times, but most of the time He's waiting on us to come and ask Him. We have not because we ask not. Please begin asking God and be specific. So my wife was going through the dishes just a few nights ago, and she found two dirty spoons, and they were crusted with with stuff on them. And she was like upset the dishwasher can't ever get it right. And we were laughing about this later, and so I have permission to share this, but she was obsessing over these two dirty spoons and when will the dishwasher ever get it right, and or maybe when will I ever clean them off right properly before I stick them in. And I finally said, Lynette, there's 50 items in this dishwasher and we're obsessing on the two. Why don't we celebrate the 48 things that are clean? And you know what? We just had a big laugh right there. And it's so true. Why don't we celebrate the good that we see? Why don't we just choose that above what did not work out in our lives? Let's choose to keep our eyes on Jesus and live above the fray, live above the dirt, live above the things that are messed up. The second point of this is that we do have to discover what we have. And Philemon, it's a little one chapter book in the New Testament. And in verse 6, Paul says to Philemon, he said, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I want to say to you, there is something good in you. And if you have yet to really meet and allow Jesus Christ to come into your life, if that hasn't happened to you yet, you can invite Jesus into your life right now. and experience that He puts every good thing into us. I know apart from Jesus, there's nothing good about my life, maybe except talents that God gave me at birth. But when you're born again, God does something supernatural and He puts good things in you. And it's really our job then to discover the good, discover what it is that God wants to use in our lives and discover even the small little things that are in our lives, little things. Moses had a stick. David had a stone. A widow had a mite to give. Peter had a net. And this woman had some oil. And I think about Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, and she had a fever. And I thought, you know, as I was preparing for this, I thought, she had a fever. A fever is just such a little thing. Like, really, do we even pray over that? But sometimes there are things that are little, but to God, they're big, they're important. And it's okay. We can give our little fevers to God. My darling daughters can obsess over a little scab, as your little girls or boys can too. Little things sometimes, but to God, they're important. So to you and I, needs to be important too. We don't just say, oh, just be quiet and go, you know, work. Now, sometimes we do sing the song back to them, let it go, let it go. Frozen, thank you very much for freezing that song in our brains. But the point is that in God's economy, little things are important to Him too. He cares about that. And I think sometimes there are little miracles that God does in our lives that mean a big deal to us because we see that God knows us, not just generally, but specifically. And that's what we get as we walk in the Holy Spirit. We get not only an abundant life, but we also get a tailor-made life. You ever been to some place and instead of buying something off the rack, it's tailor-made, where they measure everything about you? And that's happened to me maybe once or twice in my lifetime. Most of the time I'm off the rack. That works just fine for me. But when you have something that's tailor-made by a professional, it's a game changer. Now, after you gain a few pounds, it doesn't work the same way anymore. You go back to the tailor. But the point I'm trying to make is the Holy Spirit knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. And sometimes He will even do for you what you didn't think you wanted. But He says, actually, this is going to give you a more abundant life than something else that you're expecting. There is a miracle in your house. There is. Now, as we walk through this also, there's the important part of this whole message here is that we must activate our faith and be a partner and be involved in receiving this miracle. We must be involved and engaged with God. I just love the story of George Washington Carver. I love his story of being such an incredible professor, incredible scientist. He had a brutal upbringing as a colored man, a man of color, a black man. But he was so brilliant that he kept being promoted. And when there was a disease on the cotton plants in the South, he started a new economy through peanuts. And one time he was out in the field and he was having a conversation with God because so many farmers had peanuts that peanuts were being devalued. And he started praying. There was pressure on him as the leader, the thought leader and the scientific leader for so many farms and farmers. And so he was out in the fields late one night and he was praying to God and he just looked up and said, God, what is the purpose of this universe? And it was like he heard God say, it's too much for you to comprehend. And he said, okay, what is my purpose for even my life? And he said, oh, God says, that's you're asking for something too lofty right now. And he went down on his knees and he dug in the dirt and he picked up a peanut and he said, God, what's the purpose of this peanut? He said, I'm going to show you. And he went in his laboratory and stayed in there for days. And he came out with multiple uses of the peanut, from paint to makeup to so many different inventions, that he became a hero. And he went to and he appeared on the Senate to speak to Congress and the Senate. And he was a man of many great awards and much recognition all because of the power of God, and he activated his faith when God spoke to him. This woman was not making it without faith activation. It wasn't until she cried out and went to the prophet, and the prophet spoke back to her. And here's how he spoke to her. He said, several things right here. He said, I want you to go get some vessels from your neighbors. Now, even that would be a step of faith. I mean, what for? I mean, there's nothing here to even put in these vessels. I have nothing in my home. You see, God sometimes just does not and will not make sense to us. But she did it. This was like the beginning of crowdfunding, if you will. This was like a crazy thing. She went out to her neighbors and got them to buy in to her vision, which wasn't even a vision. But her faith was activated because the prophet, the man of God, God himself speaking through the prophet, said, do this. That is your answer to whatever it is you're going through, is you need, and I need, a word from God. And God wants to speak to us. Sometimes it's not instant. Sometimes it's something that he says, but we disobey. And in this particular situation, she went out to her neighbors and they cooperated. And then he said, what's in your home? She showed the oil. Then he said this, you have to shut the door behind you and your sons, your children. Shut the door. You know where that comes, that you know what that's all about. I mean, Jesus would not let people into a setting where he would often do miracles without shutting the door and keeping the negative, the disbelievers, the cynics, the skeptics out. Some things are better in the privacy of you and God working together. We know these stories. And he made a point, just shut the door. Just keep them out. You probably have heard of the idea of crab pots need no lid. I read this article one time and I've saved it. Crab pots. When crabs get in a pot, they don't need a lid because when one crab tries to get out, the other one will just pull his buddy down. They keep pulling each other down. And that's what we want to avoid in our desire to see God do a miracle. We have to get the negative out. We have to close the door on our past, close the door on our hardship, close the door on our resentment, close the door on our bitterness, close the door on unbelief. All of these things. We have to shut the door, draw a line, and be closed in with God and watch what God can do. He's up to something absolutely amazing. And the final thing said, just pour in. Just pour. And we know what happens. When God moves, everyone gets touched. The neighbors got touched. Her children got touched. The creditors got paid off. This woman, of course, became a hero. And now here she is with her miracle story in the Bible. She even did better than being in the Miracles in Manhattan book. If you haven't heard about it, it's available on Amazon. We have a copy for you. Also, much better is being in the Bible. When God uses your story and someone records it, and here it is, the inspired word of God. And it's a story that God takes the little things, the insignificant things, and he does something extraordinary. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. There are at least two Greek words for the word, the word of God. Logos, which is eternal, and it's a deep word for the Son of God. It's eternal and the Son of God. It's something that is a word that is absolutely true. But then also there's the rhema. The rhema, which is more like a now word, a very present, not necessarily eternal, but here's the word that God has for you right now. And that word, Romans 10:17, the word that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema, that's the rhema of Christ, the word of Christ, is a word that when we get that word, we can bank on it, act on it, live by it. And all of a sudden, instead of just giving up and saying, I'm going into slavery or my family's going into debt, instead of that, we lay hold and we lay claim and we don't let go until God moves. And that's where we are right now as we close out this message. These miracle stories that have happened in our lives, that have happened to our friends, have happened to people in our church, one after the other. We're starting to be sensitive to the fact that God wants to do things, but sometimes He's using things that we can't even imagine. We can't even speculate that God could do something, give me a business off my little jar of oil. It's like finding a stick of butter in your refrigerator and that's all that's in there. There's Arm & Hammer baking soda and there's a stick of butter. It's all you got. And God can take anything and do something miraculous. And that's what He's doing in our church even right now. We're watching people's lives get changed and touched, and miracles are happening as a lot of people are going to be baptized in one of the coming up weekends here very soon. I believe it's the first Sunday of November. Baptism's coming and lives are being changed. Whole families are coming to God. I mean, the enemy has overplayed his hand by doing so much death and destruction through COVID-19. And now it's time to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And even as Elisha stepped in and said, I want that oil and I want your pots, in the same way Jesus Christ comes in and pours oil into our vessels, our lives, and He's given us His joy, His anointing, His oil to fill us up so that we could be filled with the Spirit and we could be useful to break slavery, break bondage, break disease, and break bad things off of people's lives. So let me pray that for you right now, that you're a vessel that is some came from a neighbor's house, somebody else, and you've come here into the house of the Lord. And now God wants to pour something in you so that something can happen in your household. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for our time together. We pray that the Holy Spirit would fill up every person who's watching right now. And God, there would be an abundance of miracle stories. There would be breakthroughs, there'd be pushback. We get all these ants, the negative thoughts, out of our lives. And we want to hear your word that brings life, your rhema word that brings faith. And Lord, we want to have a new path from you. And we ask you, Jesus, to fill us up. Be the oil in our lives. Receive that right now. Just let the Holy Spirit, the oil of God, come into your life and to make you useful and fruitful and anointed and above and freed up through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless you and keep you and let His face shine upon you. Look carefully, there is a miracle in your house.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.